Well, praise God, this is July the 24th, 2011, Sunday morning. The Lord's laid this message on my heart 2-3 days ago, and it has to do with being a Christian, serving God. And the Lord began to deal with me about the four stages of learning. Psychology has had these four stages. Years and years this has been taught in marketing circles, learning circles. And the first stage is unconscious incompetence. The individual does not understand, this is the way it's stated, the individual does not understand or know how to do something. Well, obviously when you get born again, when you first come into the kingdom of heaven, you really don't know very much. You're a newborn baby, really. Into the kingdom of heaven. When Jesus first came in the earth, after he came out of the wilderness, the first words he said was, "Repent, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." The whole goal is to teach you how to be a fisher of men. And the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And then he says to the disciples, "Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." Those are the first words that Jesus ever spoke. The kingdom of heaven is at hand. In other words, here it is. I'm demonstrating the kingdom of heaven. Now, we are clueless about the kingdom of heaven, especially when you're first born again. You're clueless. You just know that there's a real God, there's a real heaven, there's a real hell, and there's a real Holy Spirit who just changed you, and you know Jesus is real, and you realize, hey, I just got born again. That's what happened to me. And I knew nothing else, really. That was all my understanding could get a hold of. Couldn't wrap my mind about anything else at that moment. So I was definitely unconscious incompetence going on there. I did not know what I didn't know. Think about it that way. I didn't know what I didn't know. And this is where everybody starts in any kind of learning situation. They just don't know, they don't know, and they don't understand or know how to do something that, and does not necessarily recognize the deficit. They don't understand that there's something they really don't know. They don't understand that there's even anything they can accomplish. They just don't have any understanding. They're unconscious incompetence. They may deny the usefulness of the skill. The individual must recognize their own incompetence and the value of the new skill before moving into the next stage. The length of time an individual spends in this stage depends on the strength of the stimulus to learn. While I'm sitting at my kitchen table, there was a very strong stimulus in my kitchen table to learn and to move to the next stage. Even though I didn't know anything, there was a stimulus that made me want to learn more. And I think that you have to stay ready to learn more all the time. You cannot ever say, "I don't need to learn anymore. I've acquired it all. I know everything. I don't need to learn anything else. I've got it all down pat." Don't shut the book down and walk away and say, "I've got it all figured out. I don't need to learn anymore," because you always have to learn more, especially if something as big as the kingdom of heaven. Now, the goal is to learn everything the Master wants you to learn, me to learn, because this is individual. The Bible clearly states, "Seek out your own salvation with fear and trembling." That was my motivation to learn, was fear and trembling. And do you know something? It hasn't left me. The fear and trembling after 33 years is still right here. I'm still walking around in a fear and trembling mode because I know things now that make me fear and tremble more now than I did even then. That's the truth. I got more concern now than I ever had. And it motivates me. It keeps me motivated to learn more and more and more and more. The next stage, let me just say this again. The length of time the individual spends in this stage, the very first stage, it all depends on the strength of the stimulus. Some people come to know Jesus in the middle of a crisis, like I did. Some people come to know Jesus in the middle of a divorce, finding themselves somebody ready to die in their family. And so there's a strength and a motivation that's beyond what would just happen, say, if you're just being a casual person, just walking around, nothing's going on, nothing wrong. You know, But if you really need God to show up in your life, the stimulus can be extremely big to move on into the next stage. Now, this is the next stage. Psychologists will tell you this is where people get stuck and many people drop out, is in this next stage, in learning a new thing. The next stage is conscious incompetence. Though the individual does not understand or know how to do something, he or she does recognize. They begin to wake up and say, well, you know what? There is something to learn here. There is some value in learning this. So you've already moved into the next stage now, that you recognize, well, I need to learn something here. I need to start working on something. As well as the value of the new skill. So you begin to realize, you know, this is important. I do need to learn this. I do need to get some education. I do need to get some understanding. I do need to, you know, do whatever I got to do to get accomplished at this. The making of mistakes can be integral to the learning process at this stage. In other words, people try God. This is the stage where people, they see the need, they see the opportunity, and they say, okay, I definitely got stimulus to learn this, but then they try it, and it doesn't work like they think it should work. Or things don't happen the way they think this should happen. And this is where people fall out with God. This is where they drop out. I don't care what you attempt to learn to do, whether it be being a gymnast or being a pianist or whatever, when it gets difficult and you just don't have the energy anymore to put forth effort, that's when you quit. This is not worth it. This is too much trouble. I don't have time for this. I just don't have the time to pray. I just don't have the time to read the Bible. I just don't have the time to fast. I don't have time to really seek God. I just don't have time. You know, this doesn't work. The devil comes along and says, it doesn't work. It doesn't work. It doesn't work. It doesn't work. It's not working. Look, it's not working. Here he puts a big floodlight on your problem and says, look at it. Look at it. It's still here. And you've prayed and you've fasted and you've done all you're supposed to do and it hasn't changed. It's not working. That's when you just laugh at the devil. And you begin to realize that's a lie. That's a lie. That's a lie. You have to decide what is a lie and what is a truth. And that takes me to my message in a moment. But I want to go through these real quick because this is so important. So a lot of people just give up. They try to get their healing. They try to get this. They try to get that. They push every button they can push on God's button panel. They pray every way they can pray to get God to do something. They cry, they beg, they scream, they plead, they do everything. And if nothing's working, they figure it doesn't work. Right? And this is when people fall away. This is when people fall away. Jesus said a sower sows seed, right? He goes out and sows. Some seed fell on stony ground. Some fell upon thorns and thistles. Some fell on the wayside. Some fell on good ground. Now, the good ground people are the people who push past the second stage. They decide beyond anything to not compromise. I'm going to learn this. I'm not going to pay any attention to what my body is telling me. I'm not going to pay any attention to what my emotions say. I'm not going to pay any attention to what my mind is telling me and my old stinky messed up thinking. I'm not going to pay any attention to anything outside of what God's Word is saying to me. Then they push into the greatest levels coming up. And the next levels are the conscious competence. The individual understands or knows how to do something. Wow, they know how to pray the prayer of agreement. They know how to speak the word to a situation. They have learned how to walk with God, talk with God. They've learned how to hear from God. They've learned how to operate in the things of the kingdom of heaven. They begin to get a glimpse of how powerful God really is in their life. They've laid hands on some sick folk and they've seen them healed. They begin to get an idea, you know what, this does work. Well, they always knew it worked anyway. They didn't listen to the devil, they listened to their heart. They listened to God's word. However, demonstrating the skill or knowledge requires concentration. It still works. There's a point in my life, in my Christianity, in my walk with God, that it was so much effort every day just to go to work and live and just manage and focus and do what I was supposed to do. It was an effort every day. I had to concentrate constantly on the Word. I had to quote the Word in my mind all the time. I had to stay the Word, stay in the Word, stay in the Word, stay in the Word. To keep that peace and to keep that joy and to keep that Word level going, I had to pump the Word all the time and praise the Lord all the time. Well, I still do that, but it's not the effort it was at that point. That's the stage of development you move into when you don't give up. It may be broken down into steps, and there is a heavy conscious involvement in executing the new skill. You've learned how to walk in the Spirit. You've learned how to believe the Word of God. You're operating in a new skill. That's exactly what you're doing. And you can pat yourself on the back too, because there's been many who's already fallen away at this point. Many have already thrown up their hands and said, it doesn't work, I'm not doing this, it's too much trouble, God doesn't love me, God doesn't care, I'm not moving on, because God just isn't listening to me. That's where a lot of people just go. Not me, because I knew God died for me. I knew the Lord died for me. I always said this to myself, a man that would die for me would do anything for me. Let's just get really real with this. Jesus is real. He's alive. And if a man would die for you, you tell me what would not he do for you? It's an insult to him. It's a smack in his face. It's a spit in his face when you say, I don't think you'll do what you said after dying for me. That's what it is. It's an insult to the Lord. Unconscious competence. Well, this is an awesome stage once you get here. The individual has had so much practice. They say you've got to do something about repeatedly, a repetition of about 10,000 times to get to this place. Get to this place right here. And it's called unconscious competence. The individual has had so much practice with a skill that it has become second nature. It can be performed easily. In other words, there's no consciousness in it. You just get up and do it. You don't even think about it. You've reached a point where you're, like in your case, your fingers just do what it's supposed to do. And you don't have to tell your fingers every little move to make. You don't have to consciously, you ought to be able to understand what I'm talking here more than anybody here, since you're working on your doctorate. You get to that level, you're about right here in piano or anything. And that's what the Lord is desiring us to do. He's getting his church ready to get their doctorate degree in the kingdom of heaven. Ooh, glory to God. Ooh, glory to God. Y'all feel that? I felt that. We're getting our doctorate. We're going to be walking up for our diploma in the kingdom of heaven soon. We're going to be moving into some things in the earth that people have yet to see, because we're becoming so competent, unconsciously competent of what we are, who we are, and what we are supposed to do, that we don't even think about it anymore. When someone falls down in front of you dead, you're just going to walk over and raise them up. It's going to happen without even thinking about it. Amen. You won't have to think about it. It's just common. It's what you just do. That's just what you do. You're unconsciously competent. It is your nature. The kingdom of heaven has become your nature. We've been given exceeding great and precious promise, but by these you can become a part, a taker of the divine nature. His nature now becomes your nature. His way becomes your mind. Your mind, you have the mind of Christ. You've come past the stages of learning to the point where you've mastered the master's teaching. You're mastering the master. You have played that violin to where it sounds just like the master who taught you how to play that violin. You're playing superbly, just like if he was playing. You're doing exactly what he would be doing if he was doing what you're doing. You are imitating him to the point that you don't have to think about it anymore. You react to people, you react to situations, you react to circumstances as if he was doing it, because now you're unconsciously competent in being like Jesus. That's what this is about. We're moving into an area where we are imitating him in the earth. Isn't that good? The word says that if he abides in you and you abide in him, you can ask what you will and it shall be done unto you. You know why that's true? Because Jesus was here and he asked something, it would happen, wouldn't it? But he is here. See, the key is he is here. He's in you. And you would never do or say anything but what he would say or do. So the same results he would get, you're going to now get, because he's in you. Glory. Y'all get that? This is when you become unconsciously competent. You just do it. You just walk for God. The individual may be able to teach it to others depending upon how and when it was learned. This fifth stage has been added here very recently, but I think it needs to be noted because it goes on, the model is expanded by some users to include a fifth stage, which is not part of the original model from Gordon Training International. The exact composition of this stage varies between authors. In other words, people have different ideas of this particular stage. Once you've become unconsciously competent, once you've mastered a skill to the degree and the level we've been talking about, the people who have done that, they say there's still another stage they enter into. And I believe I have tapped into some of this in my understanding and my in my comprehension, because the exact composition of this stage varies. But some refer to reflective ability or conscious competence of unconscious competence. You've gotten to the place where you know that you have mastered a skill. You're walking in the kingdom of heaven. I'm relating all this to the kingdom of heaven living, the teaching of Jesus, walking after our master, Jesus. We are disciples, you know. We are students of the Lord. We are His trainees. We are His followers. We're supposed to be learning of Jesus and learning from Jesus how to live for Him, how to walk in the kingdom. And when you get conscious of your unconscious competence, you become conscious that you can do this now. But there's something more yet to get. There's still more. Your conscious competence of unconscious competence. Let's just think about that a minute. You know there's more. There's no place to ever stop. It's infinity is what this is talking about, in my understanding. This is how I interpret this. It's an infinity that can never be completely mastered. There's a point in the things of the kingdom of heaven where eternity exists. Do you know there's no time or there's no time or distance in the spirit realm? There is none. I believe this is the spirit realm right here that psychologists cannot tap into. They know there's a part of us. They call it the sixth sense. But I believe there's a place when you have walked in the spirit and you're walking in your human spirit and you have divine understanding and you see how incompetent you are. You're conscious of that you are, yes, I'm doing what I'm supposed to be doing in a competent way, but there's a level that you still are striving for and you never stop. It continues to move because He says we are changed from glory to glory to glory to glory, even by the Spirit of the Lord. You now are walking in the Spirit. Isn't that so good? Isn't that so good? Well, now we're going to go to John, 1 John. I woke up preaching this message the other morning, and I'm preaching about truth. And I'm waking up just to preaching about truth. What's this thing about truth, Lord? What's this about truth? You understand there is something called truth and there's something called lie. There's something called right and there's something called wrong. There is something called light. There is something called darkness. This is a very basic element to walking in the kingdom of heaven. But do you know how many people do still not walk in truth? Everything about your mastering the things of the kingdom of heaven has to do with you being established in one thing and one thing only. This one thing. One thing is that you are going to exalt truth out of your human spirit above everything else. Because it hinges on your growth. It hinges on your development. If you never learn how to be unconsciously competent about speaking truth out of your heart, you will never really trust God. You will never, ever, ever really trust God who is totally, all the time, 100% truth. His word is 100% truth. But you cannot relate to that revelation until you walk in it. Until you have set a standard for your life and you have decided, I'm going to walk in truth. Now, the devil can't walk in truth. The devil can't understand truth. He doesn't understand people who walk in God's truth. Because God is true. Jesus' name is true and faithful. He is true and faithful. So when you wake up, when I wake up and I'm preaching truth, and I'm speaking, I'm preaching about truth, you see, I understand truth. You can talk to people all day long about truth, but they are unconsciously, they're right here in first stage. Well, what's the big deal about that? unconsciously incompetent is what they are about truth. They're unconsciously incompetent about the value of truth and how to walk in truth and how valuable it will be for them for the rest of their life in their learning and their educational, spiritual education in the kingdom of God. Because they just think they can flippantly live around truth and do whatever they want to do, say whatever they want to say, and avoid the fact that truth has got to be your core of your being in everything you do before the Lord. You've got to decide, I'm going to be true to myself, true to God, true to others. You've got to start walking in truth out of your spirit and establish yourself in truth. You determine, you make a decree in your heart, I'm never going to tell another lie. I'm never going to do another evil, wrong thing before God. That's not true. I'm going to live in the truth. I'm going to talk in the truth. You make a decree and an absolute, absolute decree in your heart. This is the way I am. This is what I'm going to do. Because it hinges on how you view the rest of your life and the rest of the world around you. There's something, I want to put this into words. Lord, give me grace to put this into words. When you learn how to speak the truth out of your human spirit, 100%, when you become unconsciously competent at always speaking the truth in love, you can always receive from God anything He says, anything. Because you know He always speaks the truth to you. And you will always be after truth in every situation in your life. And you'll recognize when it's not there. You'll recognize a lie, just like that. When you become unconsciously competent about how valuable truth, and you're not just become, you've moved past stage 1, 2, and 3, you're in now stage 4 when it comes to truth. Truth is that important to you. Truth has become something you're doing without even thinking about it. You don't have to think about, now should I lie about this or should I tell the truth? It's not, you're not in stage 2 anymore or stage 3 when it comes to truth. You've moved into a level, I believe few Christians ever get here. I believe few believers ever really get to this point where they're true to their own self. They're true to their own heart. They really value truth. Because the more value you place on truth, the more value you'll place on this word and the power in the word. Because your words are powerful. And if you start learning how to speak the truth out of your heart, you can learn to speak God's truth out of your heart. You can't even speak your own truth. How do you think you're going to speak God's truth? If you think people are going to believe you when you're lying, how do you think your God's going to believe you when you're speaking the truth of God's word? You can't do it. Oil and water does not mix. It doesn't mix. This is the beginning. This is the foundation of believers, of a believer, a Christian. This is the foundation of the kingdom of heaven. The kingdom of heaven is established on truth. It's established on immutable truths that it's not ever going to change. God's word is the truth. It will never, ever change. Not for you, not for me, not because of circumstances, not to fix this or fix that. God's word is established in the heavens forever. His word is truth. And then when you say, okay, I want to start walking in some truth for yourself, you say, I'm going to be a truthful person. I'm going to learn how to walk in truth. Because let me tell you, that is the hardest skill to ever, ever master. Start talking and saying the truth, thinking the truth, living the truth. You know the greatest thing that'll keep you from speaking the truth? The greatest thing that'll ever hinder you to move into stage 2 is fear. Most people lie because they're afraid. Most people lie on income tax or on many multiple things. They can lie because they can justify it because they don't have the value of truth yet established in their heart. They don't establish the value of truth being established in truth. You cannot move on into unconscious incompetence in the things of the kingdom of God because His kingdom is based on truth. We all want to walk in the kingdom, right? We all want to walk in things that are beyond our understanding, right? We all want to get there. But until you get master over your own heart and you establish that I'm going to be a person that walks in that, that walks in integrity and walks in truth, that is powerful, powerful. And then you become a master at it. You've practiced it so much. You've done it so many thousands and thousands of times that it becomes second nature to always speak the truth. You would no more think about lying about something than a man on the moon. You know why? Because you don't fear nothing. You've come to a place where you know God is really your God. He really cannot lie because you cannot lie. You've set yourself and lined yourself up with God and His kingdom. God cannot lie. It's impossible for me to lie if I'm in God. Now, it's possible for me to lie. But who would want to once you understand that He cannot lie? He can't lie. Why would... And let me say it this way. Your deep appreciation will be deepened when you've established yourself in truth. Your deep appreciation for the Word will be so great. It'll be indispensable in your living for God and your mastery of the things of the kingdom. How to walk in unconscious competence in the things of the kingdom of God. I'm pushing toward a mark of the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. The high calling of God is in Christ Jesus. It's walking like He walked, talking like He talked, doing what He did. He never lied about anything because He never feared nobody. He never feared nothing. He wasn't afraid of the Pharisees when they grabbed Him and threw Him and getting ready to throw Him off the brow of the city. He wasn't afraid. He knew who He was. He knew who His God was. And He did not walk in fear. When you walk in fear or you allow fear in your life, you are compromising the Word of truth. You're compromising truth. If you allow it, you're compromising your walk with God. That's a fact. That's a fact. It's a fact for me. It's a fact for anybody. It's not like I can choose and pick, well, I think I'll tell you the truth today and I'll say the truth tomorrow. No, I've established something in my life. If something bad happens to me because I told the truth, then so be it. I told the truth. And I'm honorable before God. He will take care of me. If I'm at risk here, I'm not lying. I'm just not going to lie to get out of a problem. I'm just not going to do it. I can commit that thing to the Lord. He will turn it around for my good because I'm honoring Him when I'm speaking the truth. I'm honoring Him. I'm not walking in fear. You know when you lie, you honor the devil? You really are taking sides. And you've compromised your own consciousness. You've compromised your own value. You value yourself less. Therefore, you're going to value truth less. I value truth. I know truth is immovable. Think of the Rock of Gibraltar. Think of the greatest, most grand thing that cannot be moved. That's truth. If you're established on truth, truth can't be moved. Jesus always spoke the truth. He said, it is written, no matter what the situation, He always had a truth. Man shall not live by bread alone, but every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. A truth. An established truth. God never, ever, ever lies. And what He has said, it is true. So you can believe it and you can establish it, but you will not believe truth until you believe your own truth. Until you establish, I'm going to start believing what I say because I'm never going to lie. I'm always going to be truthful. I'm always going to be truthful. It's a value system that you're established in. When you trust yourself to always say the truth, you can trust God to always say the truth. I don't know why that works that way, but it does. When I know that I'm not going to lie and I'm established in that decree in my heart, I've established that, I know God can't lie. It just helps your faith. It builds your faith. Every time you lie, you've compromised your faith in God's Word. Every time. Every time. It cuts away at the fabric of your faith. Because you're walking in fear. Fear and faith are total opposites. Here's fear, here's faith. You cannot do both at the same time. You cannot walk in faith toward God's Word and be over here in fear. This is, to me, the most elementary of learning. This is where this is the most important elementary foundation of being a believer in all the earth, if you're going to master being unconsciously competent for the things of the kingdom, is walking in truth. Be established in truth. Now, let me show you something. Let me show you something else here. Let's go to 1 John. 1 John and chapter 1, verse 1. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled of the word of life. Truth. He's truth. And the life was manifested, and we have seen it and bear witness and show unto you that eternal life, which was with the Father and was manifested unto us. That which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that you also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. Truth will always keep you in fellowship with God. Always. Always, always, 100%. You'll never have to be concerned about not being in fellowship when you walk in His Word, which is truth. And you've established yourself in His truth. And these things write we unto you that you may be full, may your joy may be full. This then is the message which we have heard of Him and declare unto you that God is light and in Him is no darkness at all. Or you could say God is truth and there is no lie in Him at all. God is truth and cannot lie. It's in fact in one place in Hebrew, it's impossible for God to lie. It's utterly impossible. Now, will you ever get to the place where it's impossible for you to lie? You're pushing yourself to be like God, where it's going to be impossible for you to lie. Now, it's not. You're never going to get there, not in the flesh, because it's always going to be possible for you to lie, always. It's your determination to not lie, because you're not walking in fear. You're walking in love. You see, it's the love of God that keeps you in faith and in truth. It's your love for God, the love for the things of God. But just be established in this fact that God is truth and God cannot lie. In Him is light and there's no darkness in Him at all. There's no bad in God. He doesn't think bad. He doesn't plan bad. Period. Just established in that. And that's the way you're moving. You're moving into this unconsciously competent area where you don't want any bad in you either. You don't want any anger in you. You don't want any jealousy in you or greed or lust or perversion or all, any of that crap of your flesh. You don't want any of that anymore. You want to be like God. That's what we're moving into. And I think a lot of us have already moved into a lot of these areas. But the truth is what has made you free. It's the truth that you know that you practice is what makes you and keeps you free. But truth has got to be so important to us that we will not compromise. We will just not do it. We just will not compromise truth. You establish yourself in that. I'm just not going to do it. Because if you begin to compromise yourself in truth, it opens the door for unbelief toward God in your life. I want you to think about that a moment. Think about that a moment. Do unto others as you would have others do unto you, right? The Word says, everything you put your hand to, do it heartily, mightily, with all your heart, as unto the Lord. So we're commanded to everything we do. Everything we do is to be done unto the Lord. We aren't our own anymore. You're bought with a price, right? Present your body a living sacrifice, right? Your hands are not your own. Your feet are not your own. We're going to give an account for everything we've done with this life and our bodies, right? So having said that, when we go into an area of where we can think we can slip in and out of line and slip in and out and say, well, we can justify that lie, then it gives you, inside you, it breaks down your faith in God. Because then you begin to think, well, maybe God can lie. If I can compromise, maybe God can compromise. You may not be conscious of it, but I'm telling you, if you will establish your heart to always speak the truth in love and be like God, then it'll just help your faith. It builds your faith. Builds your strength, make you a strong believer. And this is the message which we have heard of Him that declares unto you that God is light and in Him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. In other words, if we're out here walking hand in hand with the devil, we're not telling the truth if we're walking with God. You cannot walk with the devil and you cannot walk with God at the same time. I mean, it just doesn't happen. You know, the one place is you cannot serve God and mammon. You cannot serve God and money. You cannot serve God and people. You cannot serve God and anything else. It's got to be serving God and that's it. Period. That's the demand if you're going to walk in the kingdom. If you're going to learn to ever be consciously competent in the things of the kingdom of God, there's just some things, some ground rules you just need to learn. These are the ground rules. If you're going to ever get past stage two of just trying, you're going to have to leave some things out of your life. And one of them is going to be lying. One of them is going to be established of walking in truth. One of them is going to be make God your absolute loyalty to Him and Him only. Nothing else matters. If He told you to leave everything, you could leave everything. You could be just like the disciples on that ship. Come, follow me. And they straightway left everything. Nothing can hold you down. Nothing holds you back from doing whatever God told you to do. You know, it took God a while to get me to that point. But thank God I moved on into stage three. I'm moving on into stage four. That's the goal. But if we walk in the light, as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ cleanseth from all sin. Do you notice how many times the word fellowship is there? How many times is fellowship there? Do you know God cannot fellowship with sin? The Bible says in Habakkuk, it says that His eyes are so pure they cannot even behold iniquity. It's like asking God to look at some filthy, stinking, maggot-filled garbage can. That's how bad sin looks to God. There is no sin in heaven. There is none. That's why the devil had to get kicked out, because it would have corrupted heaven. It's like a cancer. Sin is there just is no sin. There is no darkness in God at all, no sin. If we say that we are in, if we say we have fellowship, fellowship is agreement. If you're fellowshipping with somebody, you're in agreement with them. You're in oneness with them. Birds of a feather flock together. Not many people can hang out with me, especially sinners, don't hang out well with me, because I irritate them, because they're of their devil, and the lusts of their father they will do. I'm of my Father, which is God, and I follow Him, and I act like Him, talk like Him, and the things of the kingdom of heaven are way above of this world. You know, the Word says, high as the heavens are above the earth, so are His ways above our ways, our thought, His thoughts above our thoughts. We're moving to that area, to where we're thinking like Him, talking like Him, believing like Him. Truth is the key to getting there. No more time for compromise. I don't believe the Lord is going to let us compromise any more truth. We're going to have to decide. I'm not going to ever lie again. I'm going to walk in truth out of my spirit. My spirit man is going to walk in total, complete, 100% truth, 100% of the time. We want to see healing 100% of the time. We want to see manifestation of God in our lives 100% of the time. We want God to answer our prayers 100% of the time. Then we need to start believing 100% of the time, walking and speaking truth 100% of the time, believing His Word 100% of the time, and living like it's true 100% of the time. You know, we want God to do all these things for us, but we're not willing to be 100% of the time. I'm talking to me. I'm just talking to me. It's like, it's time to bone up and get 100% here. I cannot lie. I cannot lie. I cannot afford the lie. I can't afford it. The Word says, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not even hear me. You know when you've lied. You know when you've done something wrong. You know when you're cheating and lying and stealing. You know when you ain't treating people right. You just know. Because the Holy Spirit's job is to convict you, not condemn you, not beat you up. That's the devil's job. The Holy Spirit's job is to convict us. He convicts us. Isn't this good teaching? Good, solid, basic Bible teaching to teach us how to be ready for the Master's use, fit for the Master's use. We're going to be ready to do whatever He called us to do when it's time to do it. There's a needy, lost, dying world around us. And it's time to learn how to walk in truth. It's hard. It's not easy. It's hard. Because it goes against everything your flesh has ever been trained to do. It goes against all your mental training, all your ideas, all your wants, all your wishes. It goes against the flesh. Walking in God's truth is not easy. But it can be easy when you practice it. You start practicing it. You start practicing it. When I first started, I took piano lessons. It was the hardest thing I ever did. But the more I practice hitting the right notes, they say, my piano teacher taught me, and Delise, you know I'm telling you the truth, that if you will practice a piece slowly and make sure you hit every key correctly at first when you're learning a piece, your fingers will be trained to do it right every time. Then everybody wants to be able to get down there and start reading the, you know, reading the music and reading the notes, and your brain is having to comprehend that note means that, and you've got to consciously be conscious of every move. But if you will practice hitting every note correctly every time you practice, you'll move into an area where you don't have to be so conscious of it anymore. Your brain has already been programmed. And that's what we're doing. We're learning how to believe God and walk in the Spirit and speak the truth out of your heart. That's the key. The next thing he says, if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we say we have no sin, if we're up here in this first column and the person doesn't understand that he lacks something, he doesn't recognize the deficit, they go around saying, well, you know, I really don't need all this truth stuff and I really don't need to read the Word and pray, and I don't need to. If you say, oh, I'm all that bad a person. I don't really think I need to do all that, and I don't think I need any help here, and God, I can handle this, God. If you say you don't have sin or lack or any need, and you don't have any problems in your life, you're lying. You're a deficit. You have a deficit here. You're blind and do not see afar off, and you have forgotten that you were purged from your sins. James says that. People can get to that point where they serve God alone and they, oh, you know, I really don't need that. That doesn't work anymore. You cannot ever come to the place where I don't need God. Because sin is, you know what? Sin is, where there is good, evil is always present. You have to know that. Where there is good, evil is always going to be present in your life. Sin is always going to be, because it's in my flesh. My flesh doesn't know how to be good. My flesh is filthy rags before God. Your flesh will always be your problem. Until you get your mind renewed, until you've gotten your stinky thinking under control, your flesh is never going to be under control. Your flesh will never want to serve God. So sin is always going to be an issue. So if you say you don't have, you think you've got it all mastered, no way. Then that's a lie. That's a lie. Now I want to go to Psalms 15. This is a psalm that the Lord spoke to us Sunday, Wednesday night. And this is where he began to speak to me concerning truth. Psalms 15. I'm getting ready to wrap up. I've got so many verses. If you'll take your concordance, or you'll get on the internet or whatever you use as a study tool, and you just plug in the word truth, you're going to be shocked at how many ways and times it talks about speaking the truth in love. Grow up unto him in truth and love. Grow up unto him. You know, he is way, the truth, and the life. Just on and on and on the scriptures go. Truth is a powerful force in the earth, in your heart. Psalms 15 always got my attention and still gets my attention. Because, for one thing, going back to the very first stage of learning right here. The very first stage of learning was the individual does not understand or know how to do something. That's me. I didn't understand how I knew how to do something. And does not necessarily recognize the deficit. They may deny the usefulness of the skill. The individual must recognize their own incompetence. You must. You must always recognize, when learning a new thing from God, always recognize, okay, God, you're teaching me a new skill here. You're teaching me new things here. It's always going to be moving you into new levels of revelation. And so when you mastered one, guess what? You're ready for the next one. Isn't that neat? We're always in training for the kingdom of heaven. I'm not sure what my job will be in heaven, but I know what it is here. It's to be a disciple. It's to continually follow Jesus and continue to move on into unconscious competence in every area of ministry, every area, whether it be walking in healing, walking in divine healing. You know, for a while there, I was just trying to get myself healed. I mean, there's a place you can move into revelation of divine healing. And staying and walking in that. So, what I started to say, though, about this first stage, when I came to Jesus, was I knew hell wasn't an option. Hell is not an option. Now, I just don't think a lot of people realize how real hell is. And how possible it is that every one of us could go there. It's possible every one of us could find ourselves in hell for eternity. I mean, wake up. Hey, who you think you are? You think you're so special? When there's millions and millions of people in hell right now, they thought they were special. They thought there was no way they could go to hell. Oh, no, God loves me too much. He ain't going to send me to hell. Let me tell you something. God does not send anybody to hell. Sin sends you to hell. Disobedience sends you to hell. We all have been given a choice to serve the Master. I'm saying I still fear hell. I'll never not fear hell. I'm glad I fear hell. I never think that I'm so the great one that God would never send me to hell. God never sent anybody to hell. That's a reality check. He don't send people to hell. Their own choices send them to hell. It's time to choose truth. It's time to choose life. Choose you this day whom you will serve. We've been given the choice. Jesus died on the cross to give us choices. They're available. Every day I wake up every minute, I make choices. To either choose truth or choose a lie. To live in fear or live in faith. To walk with God or not walk with God. To walk in uncertainty, walk in all this You know, there's gray areas. I don't want to walk in gray areas. I want to know what I'm going. I want to know. Jesus said, if your eye be single, your whole body will be full of light. You can walk circumspectly, redeeming the time, for the days are evil. You can know where you're going. You can know who you are. Anyway, that's the reason Psalms 15 is so important to me, because it gives you the ones who are going to always stay in the presence of God. Who's the ones who's always going to live in the presence of God? Who's the ones, if they do these things, they shall never fall? You'll never be moved. This is the ones. And there's a checklist. We talked about that the other night. Lord, who shall abide in thy tabernacle? Who shall dwell on thy holy hill? He that walketh uprightly and worketh righteousness and speaketh the truth in his heart. How many people are unconsciously competent in that one thing? Just think about that. He that walketh uprightly. You're unconsciously competent to make always the right choice, even if your boss is screaming at you. Even when you got a husband spitting and screaming in your face like this close, and the spit is hitting you, and they're cussing you every breath, and you just stand there and your hair is flying in the wind of their breath, you walk uprightly. You just look at them. You know who you are. And you're praying for them under your breath. Total peace. You know God is your God, and you're sitting there, I kind of fear for you guys. I'm fearing for you. You have joy. You know who you are because you're walking in truth. You've established in a truth. I mean, I've been there. I've experienced that. And then it goes on to the next one where he says, he worketh righteousness and speaketh the truth in his heart. Unconscious competence in that is something powerful and important to master. Because when you can speak at all times, 100%, you speak the truth in your heart. You've learned how to speak out of your heart in the real you. You see, we forget we really are responsible for us. My spirit is a real me. I look in these little holes in these eyes and I think, there's somebody in there. This body is going to rot. But the real me, I am so transparent. I've tried to lie. I've tried to lie, and people know it. People know when I'm lying. I can't lie. I'm a terrible liar. I can't even do it. I've practiced truth so long. If I told you a lie, you'd know it. I'd get fidgety and because it's so uncomfortable to lie. It's just not comfortable for me to lie to anybody for anything, little, big, because you get to the place where it's who you are. You speak the truth in your heart, and there's a powerful reason for that. Powerful reason. I said it earlier. But just get this. Get this. Because if you can't believe you, nobody else can believe you. And you can't believe God. Your faith is hinged on how much you believe what you say. And the value that you place on truth out of your heart. That's a fact. And when you value truth, and you see the integrity of it and how powerful it is, and you speak the truth out of your heart, you know God does. And then you can lay hold on truth and make it your truth. Just meditate on that. Salah, that's something to think about. Powerful. Because you determined your ground. You're determining your good ground. How much you can receive of the word. Well, that's a truth. Can I walk in that truth? Well, do I speak the truth? Can you walk in the speaking of that truth? Can you add that to your vocabulary? Can that truth be a part of you? Can you begin to speak that as a truth out of your heart? Have you learned how to speak truth? Then you can learn how to speak God's truth. Because now you've accepted a seed of the Word of God, which is a truth. And it's been planted in your heart. It's taken root. And now you can speak a truth. And you know it's a truth, whether it looks like it or feels like it or not. That's what faith is. When you know that a truth is a truth, and you can live in it and walk in it and talk it, and because it's the truth. Y'all get that? And the more you know the truth, the more free you will be. And you won't settle for the less. You won't settle for compromise. You won't settle for a lie. It's a high calling. It's what it is. It's a high calling of the mark of the Christ in Christ Jesus. Paul said, this one thing I do, I forget about everything behind me. This one thing we better do if we're going to walk in truth is forget everything behind us and press toward the mark of walking in truth for our own hearts. And be honest before God. You know, God knows everything, and we know God knows everything, and we always say, oh, God understands. I'm not talking about all that. I'm talking about every day living out of our human spirit. Every day talking out of our human spirit. Every day the way we interact with other human beings. The way we happen to be here on this earth. I'm not in heaven yet. In heaven, we won't have to work so hard. You know? I have to keep my flesh under. But my spirit man is in control of me. The real me. Okay, let's go to the next one. He that backbiteth not with his tongue. Now remember, these are the people who are never going to be moved. When a flood comes, a problem comes, or trouble comes, the devil lies, no matter what he says, you're not going to be moved. Because you're established on truth. He that backbiteth not with his tongue, nor doeth evil to his neighbor, and taketh up a reproach against his neighbor. Boy, that was the hardest. That's just about as hard as speaking the truth. Learn how to not do that. That's just about as hard as anything I ever did, is not to talk about somebody or not to judge somebody. Let me help you with this. I want you to think of a mule or a plow horse. I watched my daddy my whole life plow a garden, acre garden almost, with a horse. I'm glad I had that experience as a child because I watched them work as a team. My dad would say G, the horse knew that meant turn right. My dad would say haw, the horse turned left. Didn't have to pull in the rein, just did it. He put blinders on the horse. There's a reason they put blinders on them. Because those blinders, and there's a harness on that horse. There's hanes on that horse. There's things that hold the plow in place. The horse knew when that harness was put on her and those hanes were on her neck, she knew she was going to be working that day. Didn't matter if it was 100 degrees, she knew she was going to be out there working. And she learned and became a good horse at doing what she was supposed to be doing. And she pulled the plow. She knew that was her job. Daddy's job was to give her direction because she couldn't see, right? She has these blinders on, right? The Holy Spirit is the Spirit of truth who's been given to you to lead you and guide you into truth. He will keep your blinders on you if you let Him. And He will guide you into all truth. He will never speak of His own self. He will only speak what Jesus tells Him to speak. He has been given a guide to speak truth. He is the Spirit of truth. He will lead you into truth. You have no, you know there's even an anointing. If you read 1 John, there's an anointing in you that will teach you more truth. When truth becomes really important to you, you'll want more of it. And you'll learn how to speak out of it, out of your heart. The blinders will keep you from being distracted. Let the Holy Spirit put blinders on you when it comes to your neighbor, the faults of other people, the problems of other people, the shortcomings of other people. Track to do what you're supposed to do. You cannot talk about anybody because if you talk about somebody, you're setting yourself up to be talked about. Probably why I've been talked about so much because I used to talk about people. I had to curse those seeds and curse that. And I definitely work on that today. I still have to work on it. The next thing, in whose eyes a vile person is condemned. Amplify said, in whose eyes a vile person is despised. No, we just know evil is evil. Somebody that kills unborn babies, I despise them. I despise not the person, but I despise the act. There's things you despise that are vile, evil. Somebody that abuses a child, that's a vile thing. Pedophile's a vile thing. Not something you rub shoulders with or accept. But he honoreth them that fear the Lord. He, and this is the one I started to get to a minute ago. He that sweareth to his own hurt and changeth not. I told you about the husband screaming in my face, cussing me, breaking everything I had, throwing me against walls, all those things. It didn't change me. You know why it didn't change me? Because I'm established in truth. I'm established in truth that, and also I'm established in the fact there's a real hell. And ain't nobody sending me there. Because nobody will send you there. You send yourself there by your choices. So you just established in this, I'm going to swear to my hurt. Yep, that wasn't good. Yeah, that was wrong, but I'm not going to change what I know is the truth. I'm going to keep on keeping on in truth. He that putteth not his money to usury, in other words, you don't loan money expecting to get something back. In fact, you know I don't loan people money. I just don't do it. I don't loan people money. I would rather just give you the money and say, just keep it. I'll sow it a seed as unto the Lord for you. Because you know what? He that giveth, it'll be given to you again. I just claim that promise. That's the truth. That's not something I just made up or God just throws out there. If you give, you can count on it. It's going to come back to you. And you can call it to come back in the measure you want it to. I mean, it's true. If I give, I'm given as unto the Lord. Give, and it shall be given unto you, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, shall men give unto your bosom. Men, not God, men will give into your bosom. Men give into my bosom. But it started with me giving. So I don't put my money out for interest. I don't worry about making any money. I don't worry about taking money and making money with money. Because I know the giving is how I get. I give to get. How is it that Copeland always says it? I don't work to make a living. I work to make a giving. Because your giving is the key to your living. That's a fact. That's a truth. That's a truth that God, Jesus has taught that in the Word of God over and over and over and over and over. But how many people walk in that truth? You can get unconsciously competent in that as well. You can get unconsciously competent in walking in giving. You can get unconsciously competent in living in healing. You can get unconsciously competent in walking in anything. You establish yourself to always speak the truth. Always speak and live in truth. Because it's the truth that you know that you're holding on to, you're establishing that will make you free. Whether it be healing, depression, finances, I don't care what it is. It all works this way. This is the key to being a victorious believer. We've already been promised all these things. We've already been promised victory. He that putteth not his money to usury, nor taketh reward against the innocent. That's pretty obvious. You know, don't come along and tell me to lie about something. I'll bribe you. I'll give you a payoff if you'll testify in court to this. Or I'll make sure this happens, or whatever. That's a bribe against somebody you know it's not true. And the bottom line is this: he that doeth these things shall never. What's the word never mean? I like that word never. I'll never be moved. I'll never be moved. If you're not speaking the truth and you don't know how to walk in truth, you can be moved. That's the whole importance of first establishing yourself that you're never going to say another lie. You're always going to walk in truth before God and man. Father, I seal this word this morning. And thank you for it, Father. In Jesus' name.